Welcome to the Nature Reliance Podcast, where we explore the history and practical experience of the great outdoors and discover new ways to connect with nature. I'm Craig Cottle, your guide through the fascinating world of natural living and survival skills through experiential education and interviews. Today's episode is brought to you by the Nature Reliance School Online Membership, an immersive online learning experience designed for outdoor enthusiasts just like you. Are you passionate about the outdoors? Do you crave more knowledge about disaster readiness, wilderness survival, bushcraft, tracking, and nature awareness? If so, the Nature Reliance School Online Membership is your gateway to a community of like-minded individuals, all dedicated to learning and sharing essential outdoor skills. With the Nature Reliance School Online Membership, you get exclusive access to a wealth of resources, including expert-led tutorials, interactive webinars, and a library of engaging courses, downloadable books, and documents. Whether you're a beginner or an experienced outdoorsman, there's always something new to learn. So don't wait. Click on the link below to join the Nature Reliance School Online Membership today. Embrace the wilderness, enhance your skills, and become part of a community that values nature as much as you do. Now, let's dive into today's episode. Hey everybody, this is Craig Cottle, Director of Nature Reliance School. You may be like me in that you think social media sucks. I know I do, but there are some good things that come out of social media, and one of those is that you get to meet some friends and chat with them on occasion. People that are far away that you probably never, ever meet in person. Well, Bill Reese is one of those guys. I respect him. I've seen his interactions on social media and the things that he shares with people as it relates to the outdoors. I've just never met him in person. But what I wanted to do was get him on the podcast and talk about what it is that he does, how he came by the name of Instinct Survivalist, which is a fantastic story that he's going to tell in this podcast. So here we are welcoming in Bill Reese. Welcome to the show, Bill.
I appreciate it, Craig. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, man. As I mentioned to you when I first wrote you, what was that? That was a few months ago when I first sent something to you, I guess. You know, our goal has been with the podcast to get several different people on. I think I've made it clear to our listeners, and maybe this is good for you to hear too, I hope, that our way is not the way of doing things. It is a way of doing things. So I like getting other people on to share different things and get different perspectives. So that's why I wanted to get you on. Also, there's a certain amount of I get people on that I want to hear from myself so I can learn from you too. So that's a big part of it. I'm kind of greedy like that on information. I like talking to good people. So thanks again, man, for being here.
Not a problem. And yeah, that's that becomes your benefit, right? Or at least your choice to say, yeah, no, I want to hear something from this person. So that's good. Your prerogative.
So tell everybody that's listening in, because most of our folks that started listening to podcasts is actually growing really big now, but they're from right here on this part of the world right here, you know, eastern mountains of the United States. Tell everybody where you're from and how you got started in the outdoors and all that kind of good stuff.
Well, so not too far from where you are. I actually grew up in South Alabama. The way that I got started in the outdoors was, you know, just hunting, camping, fishing, all that with my dad, my biological father. I've got a stepfather, so the only reason I say it that way.
Sure.
And the biggest thing was just spending time outdoors and learning everything I could, every waking moment, you know, back when they had to holler for you to come in for dinner and things like that. That's the way I was raised. Right. And again, that's anywhere between Alabama and Georgia and parts in between, I should say.
So what's the world like down there? Are we talking about mixed hardwood forests, swamps, hot? Cold? What's it like down in that part of the world where you grew up?
Yeah. A little bit of yes. so where I like to play was eastern woodlands. I mean, it was, you know, pretty much forested everywhere, not a problem. Some of my, we'll say, fondest and not fondest memories were in swamps of South Georgia. There's a long story there. Maybe we'll get to it in a little bit, but, yeah, it was swampy land down in down near Blakely, Georgia. For those of the listeners that know where that is, So that's kind of where some of the playgrounds were, which gave me the expanse to understand beyond Eastern Woodlands or beyond, oh, well, you have poplar, you have pine, and you know, and you have cedar. Well, you've got cedar, you've got cedar in abundance in the swamp, but then all of it's wet. So you got to figure all that out.
And you're not there now, right?
No, actually not. At 50 years old, I literally packed up everything we owned into a moving truck, drove to Western Montana to live in the Rockies. And without a place to live, we actually stayed in a hotel for the first 2 weeks. And my
wife, get out of here. You didn't have a place to live?
No. Uh-uh.
And that's a good woman that would be with you for that.
Well, the worst part, or the best part of her, the worst part of me was that that first week, I actually had to fly back to Washington, D.C. because of my job. And she found the rental place here in Bonner, Montana.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good. That's good. Is she an outdoorsy person?
Not even close. The closest thing we've got for outdoors for her is she may go outside to just sit by the river and, you know, if it's cool outside, that's about it.
Gotcha. So tell me about Montana.
I love it. First off, it's we actually live on the Blackfoot River. So anybody that knows the movie A River Runs Through It, that's it. I like to watch the water swell and decline and just, you know, the whole nine yards and that. But we actually live in a valley. Bonner, Montana is actually in a valley between two mountains, and it's in the Lolo National Forest. So I can go across the highway, which is Highway 200, and go into Lolo National Forest, or I can go across the river, you know, over the river and through the woods, and I'll be in the Rattlesnake Wilderness.
Duly named? A lot of rattlesnakes there, or just
not in this part? No, they're more. You go a little bit further south, yes. You go further west, further east, definitively.
Nice. In all honesty, man, I think one of the reasons I sought you out is I'm a part of your group on Facebook, and I don't participate very much on Facebook anywhere, even on my own group. Unfortunately, it just seems like you've got it going on right as far as how you work with people and how you help people. You don't seem to be pompous. You don't seem to be, you know, it all kind of thing. Tell us about your perspective on helping others and teaching others and that sort of stuff.
You remember when I talked about the story that may come up later? I'll use that one as the best.
Okay, good, good.
The main reason is because, you know, there's plenty of things in the outdoors that'll humble you. I've run face to face with the mountain lion twice. One while I was hiking, one thankfully while I was driving. But the other is one that will test your skills. I was in the swamps of South Georgia, going hunting with my dad, again, biological. And I only say that in case when I'm happen to listen, they'll know the difference between them. One day we got to the spot that we were all supposed to unload, and he got out and I wasn't ready. And next thing you know, when I got out, he wasn't there. Nowhere to be found, I mean, I could holler all day long and nowhere to be found, period. So first off, I could stay by the truck. Second off, that meant I'd stay by the truck all day. No telling what's going to get you out there. And then, so what I did is I actually just started hiking. I hiked down a nice grassy plain, down a couple of mud slopes into the swamp itself. Saw a couple of little rubs, and you probably really appreciate this because it's all about signs and tracking.
I'm liking it already. I'm liking it already.
I saw mud slides. I saw handprints on trees.
Oh, nice. Nice. Is that something that you came about naturally, or is this some skills that your dad had taught you? Or
so the only skill he taught me in that regard was how to spot a deer track. That's it.
Okay.
So man tracking was not even in the picture. Doesn't matter anything else. The only thing I knew was this is how I knew how to track. I knew that if it's an animal, then you track it this way. And so that relates to all animals, including humans.
Gotcha. So
because of that, yes, the rest of it was just kind of naturally picked up. Anyway, to kind of shorten the story, this went on for, I'd say a good bit, probably a good 20 to 30 minutes, or at least seemed like that. And I was 12, 10, somewhere between 10 and 12. Anyway, I popped up on the other side of the bank, and my dad was probably about 7 to 10 feet away from me.
Oh, and, man.
And wow. His response, and we'll always remember this, is he said, "Wait, how did you do that?" And I said, "I just used my instinct, Dad." And that's how the instinct survivalist came about, that part. But awesome. Yeah, no, and he I'll leave it at, he didn't seem real happy with the outcome.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. For those listening in, I'll have links for down below for website and stuff, but the website is Instinct Survivalist. And so that's how that was born, huh?
Yeah, that's exactly it.
Nice. That's good. So your instincts were spot on, man.
It was that day, and have been, I would say, have been pretty much the rest of my life.
Yeah. So for when you mentioned you went back to DC for work, did you do work that's related to the outdoors or totally not related at all?
No. So I still work for corporate America. I don't like it. I still work for corporate America. At the time I went back, I was working and am working for an emergency notification company. What that means is those little annoying beeps and sounds you get on your phone that give you notifications that, hey, your bank balance is low, or hey, there's an Amber Alert, or hey, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those are ours.
Oh, really?
Not the Amber Alert. So don't blame me for Amber Alert. That's not ours, but all the rest of them are ours or a company like us.
Okay. Interesting. Meaning you're responsible for making sure that technological phenomenon of getting it out happens, or the actual sound itself?
No, the actual message itself going out. Our system is the foundation, the base, the platform in which that goes out.
Oh, so wow.
Somebody logs into it. I'll go back to the banking example. You got a bank that logs in. They say, hey, your balance is low. Usually that's automatic. It's from something that's monitoring it. But then the other side of it is they can go in and say, hey, we've got cookies in the break room. Go get those. Or hey, there's a tornado headed your way. If you look at state of Texas, state of Florida, state of California, they all use our technology for state notifications, weather notifications. There is West Virginia, which actually used us for COVID vaccinations. Whether you agree with them or not,
understand.
They use it for that.
Sure. So the outdoor stuff you do, Instinct Survivalist, and what you do there on the website, because I looked at several of your blogs today, trying to see some ideas about what kind of things you're doing and the instructional stuff that you do. And you do, and I'd like for you to bring up some of the other guys you talked about that you've done some stuff with out there too, because I love, we'll get them on too. It's sort of a side thing. It's something that you're doing for the love of it, for the fun of it. I mean, it's not a living that you're doing there.
Exactly. And, you know, one day maybe, but when the corporate job pays the bills, that's kind of the way you got to roll with it.
Yeah. Nothing wrong with that at all. Absolutely nothing wrong with that at all. Everybody's got bills to pay, right? Good gravy. Exactly. I know I do. You do some instruction though, right? I mean, you teach some classes yourself. And what kind of things do you do out there?
So the latest ones that we were teaching, and I'll say we, and then I'll tell you who it was with. Latest ones we were teaching were wilderness first responder, CPR, AED training for a group of 50-day, woodsman, advanced woodsman class. And that's with Colorado Mountain Man Survival or the Survival University. I actually work for those classes. I actually work for Off-Grid Medic. And that's Mark DeJong. He's out of South Carolina. And then Colorado Mountain Man is Jason Marsteiner out of Cripple Creek, Colorado. So feel free to go in and check them out. Love the guys. It's one of those where I've worked with enough people in the past that I've vetted quite a bit of people to say, yes, I can work with you versus not. And there are people that, let's go back to the very beginning of the conversation of pompous and believe they know everything and nobody else is right.
Right. I have links for everybody listening. I have links for those guys in the description below as well. so that everybody can link to them. Cause I know those guys by reputation, even before you brought them up to me the other day in our messages back and forth, but I've never talked to them, just like I haven't talked to you. So it'd be good to get those guys on too.
Those are some great guys. Again, that was for the medical wilderness medicine. We teach a WFA as well, wilderness first aid. But then on the other side of it is I do teach survival classes, bushcraft survival. It's very, very small and these days very rare. I'm trying to get a good class up here just because it's new. And the biggest part of it is we rent this property. So getting a class here is a little bit challenging because right. The landlord's like, no, we're not going to do that. So I have to find land to go in and do that. And that's been the biggest challenge. But I'll take somebody aside and do some one-on-one with them. Hey, I want to know how to start a fire. Not a problem. It's real easy. I'll go in and do that. The best thing about that, or the easiest thing for me about that, is I've already taught all my kids. I've got 3 kids, and I will put any one of them up against any survival instructor out there or survival student to go in and start a fire and I'll say build a shelter at least for one of them. As far as the other one goes, I'm not real sure. But I've got one that she's a pistol, and she will she'll match for match. And then my son will also do the same. So it's because I was able to train them in a way for them to understand. It's easy for that to transfer to other people for them to learn and easier for them to absorb.
So are you surrounded by like BLM land out there, or is it national land of some sort? Or
we'll be back after a quick break.
Hey guys and gals, a quick break in our episode to talk about a game changer in outdoor cooking, the Fire Maple backpacking and camping stove system. Whether you're hiking, fishing, or even prepping for emergencies, this portable pot and jet burner is a must have in your gear. Best part? It's nearly half the price of a comparable JetBoil stove system. Thanks to its leading heat exchange technology, you'll experience reduced boiling times by up to 30% compared to traditional stoves, even in windy conditions. That means more time enjoying the outdoors and less time cooking. Are you ready to upgrade your outdoor cooking game? Click the link in the description now to grab yours. Trust me, your outdoor adventures will never be the same.
So I do not, I am not near BLM land. Okay. What is across the street is National Forest. And then what is behind us is National Wilderness. So it is wilderness land. Bob Marshall Wilderness is up the road. This one's the Rattlesnake.
And so those, I'm just assuming, because a lot of places are like this, those are not places you could actually take people and teach classes. You might go out there, but you can't make money on it. That's kind of the way it is here.
Exactly. It's the same process. I can take them out there. I can teach them all day long, but I cannot make a dime off of it.
Right. And I get that, kind of.
They can pay for my gas.
Right. I want to go back on something you mentioned earlier, because this is something I don't have experience with here in Kentucky, and I always like asking. Tell me about mountain lions. Tell me about these two incidents you have with these mountain lions.
One of them was actually in Colorado. I was in Colorado Springs. I was hunting. I was hiking Garden of the Gods, and it was an evening. Sun was starting to set, and I just wanted to get a quick hike in because my old office used to be in Colorado Springs. I was there, you know, at least once a month for a week at a time, if not longer. But I was just, again, doing an evening hike. Sun starting to set. I just wanted to get some time in, out and about. And I rounded a sharp little corner with a couple of pine trees right there. And as soon as I turned the corner, he's sitting there. And I'm like, daggone, oh, crap, dude. I'm going to die. I just kind of went back to the instinctual stuff. I just kind of backed up a little bit. Right. And I went, hey, bud, I'm not going to bother you if you don't bother me. We're not going to fight. Let's just, you go your way and I'll deal with me. And I'm going to turn around and go the other way. And I didn't turn around and go the other way. I walked backwards quite a ways down right. the trail, but I did go back the way I came and he took off the other way. So that one was the kind of the eye-opening, oh, crap, these things are real.
Yeah. And they're here.
The other one was too funny. My landlord wanted to go out to the forest, and I'll just put it bluntly. He wanted to go shoot guns with me. So we went out to the forest to go shoot guns. First time in the forest, first time in Montana in the, well, let me rephrase. Since we moved, it was the first time for me to be in the Montana forest. And he had hunted in this place all of his life. He's been, you know, he grew up in the house that I'm in. I mean, the whole nine yards. So we took off. We went down into the forest, and I slammed on the brakes, and I backed up the Jeep, and I looked over out the driver's side window, and I said, "Hey, Darby, you ever seen one of them up close?" He's like, I won't say what he said, but it's choice four-letter words, and needless to say, I took a picture real quick before it took off. My landlord was like, he's 60 something years old. He says, "I have never, ever, ever in my life ever seen one of those in real life." And I went, "Well, now you have." He goes, "There's something about you, man." He said, "There's something about you, and that's a little scary."
Well, good for him, man, that he got to see one after never in his lifetime. That's pretty good stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah, even better that you're in the car and you could drive away from it if you needed to as well, instead of backing up in the woods.
Yeah, we actually ran into you know, several elk, deer, again the mountain lion and black bear on that in that forest on that road. We were coming back after driving down the road with my wife, just kind of taking her for an outing and seeing the scenery, and came back and she goes, "What is that in the road?" I went, "You don't want to know."
she goes,
"Yeah, actually I do." I said, "Okay." So I slowed it down real slow, kind of creeped up on it. I said, "You see it yet?" She goes, "Oh my gosh, is that bear?" Yeah. And it took off and she was able to see it, you know, jump down the little hill and everything. But no, it was, it's one of those things that we've seen them across the river. We've seen them on the road. I had one going across the road the other morning when I was heading into town. It was, you know, it's just one of those things.
When you said deer, are you talking muleys or whitetail?
Yes.
Oh, both out there? Yeah, both.
Yeah, it's both. Yeah, we've got whitetails galore. I've run into some muleys. I actually run into some blacktail as well. So,
what's the difference between muley and blacktail? I don't know. We just have whitetail here in Kentucky.
Well, and that's what I grew up with. So for me, I'm looking at these larger beasts and going, what the hey?
Yeah.
I don't know the technical difference. I'll go into A and be honest with you.
Okay, that's fine.
I don't know the technical difference. I just know that from the front, I know what a muley looks like. From the back, I know what a blacktail looks like. If they're the same in the middle, sure. They could be the same thing. Just looking at two different ends of it.
Man, I was out at Utah teaching a class recently and had never been to that part of the world where those types of deer are. And I went on a little hike by myself, and what I think was a mule deer come running right at me. And I'm thinking, oh man, this is cool. I get to see a mule deer. And then it hit me. What has scared this thing that it's running my direction? Because I'm in like mountain lion country, and I'm like, okay, I'm not in Kansas anymore, Toto. I am out of here. So I left.
Exactly.
I was carrying, but still, I don't want to have to deal with a mountain lion if I don't have to, that's for sure.
Well, and that's it. You know, we care because we don't want to deal with it, but we care because in case.
Right.
And you're right. That there's only two things that spook them, and that is something chasing them, or if you're doing something you're not supposed to be doing, they will charge. I mean, that's just
really
flat out plain and simple. And you've seen that with whitetail as well. My dad got charged by one when I was young. It happens.
Wow. Interesting. See, I've never seen that happen.
Yes, say it's usually when they're in fear for their life, though. I mean,
right.
The reason it charged my dad is because my dad had shot it. So it was
wounded. Oh, yeah.
Well, you got this, you know, full antlered deer, you know, looking at him and trying to charge at him. And he's hitting it with broken, you know, cypress stump sticks. And, you know,
I hope he's okay. Can I laugh? Yeah, was he okay? Yeah, okay. I can. Yeah, then I'll laugh.
No, that's fine. But he had hollered, you know, bring me some shells from the truck. Actually said, bring me some shells, because apparently he had emptied his out and without carrying extra. So I run back to the truck and I haul butt all over to his place because I was in a separate stand. I get over there. He grabs my gun, shoots the thing. And I'm like, well, here's the shells. He goes, I didn't need the shells. I needed the gun.
Oh, gosh. Oh.
Okay. Well,
what a story.
Right. I did what you told me to do. So it happened.
Yeah. Now I have had whitetail come after me in situations similar to that. Yeah, that's a rough position to be in. So I've got some standard questions I usually like to ask all my outdoorsman friends. Number one, what has been your most enjoyable experience in the outdoors? If you can name one.
I don't know that I can name one.
I know it's,
I think just the time spent with family and friends. It doesn't matter where it is. If it's a state park and we're, you know, on a concrete pad or a gravel pad or, you know, up in the mountains or anything, it's being able to spend time outdoors with people that are, you know, friend, family, or, you know, spend some time with foes as well. But, you know, it's one of those things that it's always fun to me, just because I'll sit back and just, I will absorb as much as I can before I speak, typically. And it's amazing to see the conversations that go on during that process, or during those non-interactions, because you've got, you know, guys that were military, and they're like, oh, I'm going to start the fire. I'm like, knock yourself out. You know, an hour later, I'm still because I don't have a fire to cook my food.
Right.
But it's fun. You know, it becomes fun.
Right. Question number two, then, what has been the least enjoyable, maybe the most humbling experience you've had?
It's kind of a toss up between the swamp story and the mountain lion face to face. I think both of those were very humbling, because the way that I saw it, one was I honestly thought I was going to die in the swamps. But again, I mean, you know, between 10 and 12, I act tough, but that's just the way it went. And I didn't know where my dad was. I mean, that's kind of what it boiled down to. The mountain lion face to face. Again, I honestly thought I was going to die, because I did not know what that cat was going to do. It's one of those where, you know, if it was my time, it's my time. It's the way it goes. I've made my peace with everybody around me. I try to make sure that I don't have to go back to anybody and say, I'm sorry. But, you know, if it's my time, it's my time. There's nothing I can do about it.
Yeah, I can see that. Man, it's there's something to be said about coming face to face with the fact that you're not top of the food chain.
Right.
Exactly. I mean, I think a lot of people need to have that experience. I had that. I had an experience like that in Alaska with a grizzly bear, and it's kind of a. And with that said, I didn't even see the bear, but I came across a track bushwhacking while I was fishing up there, and this track had water sitting in it, which means it was incredibly fresh. And let me know that the bear was right there somewhere, and I didn't know where. And that was another time that Craig went back to the car, because I mean, I'm not an Alaskan, you know, and the guys that I talked to, and there's a couple guys I want to get on the podcast to talk about Alaska, that big sky country, like what you have out there in Alaska and Utah, that man, there's just critters that eat you there.
Yeah, exactly. You're in that. I will say that's been kind of the challenge getting out here, is because, you know, they're okay. So we had snakes in Alabama and Georgia.
Right.
You know, now every snake in the world would kill you, but nevertheless, there were snakes. But outside of that, I'm going to be real honest with you. You got bobcats. You can get leprosy from armadillos. I mean, that's
right.
There's not or rabies from possums. There you go. Or raccoons and squirrels. So, you know, they're not going to maim you. We're out here. Yeah, it'll maim you. I will say, and this has been kind of a running joke between me and one of the guys that did move out here as well. He moved out to Idaho, and he was in Tennessee. We realized that the black bears out here are actually bigger than they are in North Georgia. So
from an
overall perspective, they've got quite a bit more size on them. It's
that'll wake you up too. Right. So last one of those types of questions, funniest experience, something that you think about today and you think, man, that was hilarious.
there's one outdoor adventure that was truly an adventure for me. I am not military, never claimed to be, will never claim to be. But I got invited to go out with some other men. And that's the way I'm going to start the story.
Sure.
And as we go out, I start, you know, taking account of which men were out there, because I knew some of them's background, not a big deal. But we're all sitting around a campfire, and as the story unfolds from each one of them, I've got one that was a Navy SEAL. I got one that was a Ranger. I got one that was Delta Force, and one that was a PJ, a paratrooper.
Combat controller or something.
Yeah, basically with Air Force.
Pararescueman.
Thank you. That's the words I was looking for.
Gotcha.
Don't know why it escapes me sometimes. And then the other one was a grunt. No special, nothing, but he did serve. And for that, I'm very thankful. But we were all just kind of chewing the fat. Well, next thing you know, one of the spec ops guys stands up and he starts yanking off his clothes. And I'm going, whoa. No, I may look like fresh meat on this thing, but that ain't going to happen. He goes, oh, no, man, I'm going to go jump in the creek over here. And I'm like, dude, the creek is probably around 35 degrees. That ain't happening. He goes, no, come on, guys. Two others go in and join him. And anyway, let's just say that turned out to be very, very amusing. Nothing weird happened, but it was just very amusing to see these grown men that were, you know, serving in the military at a time where they just jumped up, stripped off clothes, and go jump in the middle of this, you know, cold creek. Like I said, it was probably about 35. We were bundled up around a campfire. So it was not this old boy. It ain't gonna happen.
Yeah, man. That's
what a soul. Ain't gonna happen.
That's some shrinkage happening there, man. That'd be cold. That would be cold.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
But it was fun. That story lives on for a long time.
Right. So what's coming up for InstinctSurvivalist.com and you and the guys you work with? Anything coming up soon?
Yes. I'll work furthest out and go backwards. So in September, actually October 1st, I think is the date. I'd have to go and look. We're doing another WFR, Wilderness First Responder School, up at Colorado Mountain Man Survival University in Cripple Creek, Colorado. And again, that's me working with Mark DeJong. And then before that, or between now and then, I've got a crap ton of, I'll just say, items that have been sent to me to do reviews on. So those will continually be added to the YouTube channel, you know, for those that care. You know, it's great because I get to give away a bunch of flashlights. That's the latest thing that everybody wants. Right. Was trying to get hold of one of the dealers for 3 years now. They finally sent me one and was like, dude, you knocked it out of the park. I'm like, great, thanks. So all send right. me more.
Good.
So some of the things that are coming up is I'm going to start.
Hey, real quick. Hey, if you don't care, Bill, tell everybody what your YouTube channel is. I'll have links for it, but just tell everybody.
Sure. It's youtube.com/instinctsurvivalist.
Okay. Easy enough. Carry on. Thank you.
Easy. Yeah, no problem. I can be found on, you know, depending upon social media, it's Instinct Survivalist or I Survivalist, because at the time they wouldn't let me have more letters.
Oh, really? On which one? No. Instagram? Because you're I Survivalist on Instagram, right?
Instagram, Twitter, okay. And originally Facebook.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, man, that's stupid. I hate that stuff, man. Yeah.
No kidding. We're at the mercy of the social media.
Yep, I get it.
Whatever that next word's going to be, I'll let you fill that one in. but then, you know, I'm going to do primitive traps. So that's going to be awesome. I've got some not, and please understand, you want a tracking class, you go to Nature Reliance, you go to Craig, he will teach you. Me, I'm just going to teach you a few little tips and tricks on video. That's it. Does not take the place of formal training. There's my disclaimer. So there's that. I've got some other things that are planned with a primitive specialist out of Idaho. And not sure what we're working on there, but we're working on some things. And I had a list. I was trying to think of the big ones. Those I think are the big ones.
When you said that the tracking stuff, is that a video or that's a class you're teaching?
Video.
Okay.
Video, good stuff. Yeah. No, I for physical tracking classes, I actually have a guy to come in and him do it. We haven't had enough people to sign up for that because they're like, no, we're elk hunters. We don't need that.
Yeah, man, that's the way it is with hunters. So, hunters think they typically have tracking until they go to a tracking class with somebody.
I went to this guy's tracking class, and that's how we end up meeting. And I don't have anything else on there except for reviews. That's how we end up meeting, and we just sat down over fire afterwards and just started talking. And I'm like, well, tell me about this, and talk to me about this, and talk to me. I mean, he was just like, here's more information. You want more? Here, you want more? You want more? Which is how I got to know him. And he's like, just call me, man. I want to come to Montana. So
nice.
We'll see if I can get enough people to get a class. And if that's the case, then I'll call him up and get him out here if he's still willing. If not, guess what, Craig? I'm going to need you to come to Montana, sir.
I'll volunteer.
Yeah.
Get him first. But if it didn't work out, then I volunteer.
Well, he's got his new stuff going, so we'll see how that turns out for him.
I'm of the opinion that the whole world needs to be a tracker. So, I mean, I love tracking stuff that I teach. Whoever's teaching, as long as they're a good teacher, that is, obviously. But man, I want everybody to be tracking because it's such a useful skill set for everybody.
It is. In fact, there's a quick story about that just from the training that I've had. This past winter, we had some light snow just on one of the road up here. And I was taking and walking up and down just for exercise to get out and about. Ended up running to one of the neighbors. And he goes, you know, how long you been out here? I said, maybe about 10 minutes. And I said, but you've been out here for like, what, 45 minutes to an hour? He goes, how do you know? I said, well, because your tracks do this and your tracks did that. And then you veered off up here and you went over. He's like, dude, I mean, did you watch us? I went, no, that's the tracks. I'm watching the tracks.
Right.
It's a good thing he's a nice guy because I think it freaked him out a little bit.
Yeah, it always does. That's good, man. That's good stuff. I love hearing that.
Yeah, that's good. So I got a question for you.
All right, man. You're the one being interviewed, not me.
It's okay.
All right. Lay it on me.
It's one of those things. When are you doing an advanced class?
Advanced tracking?
Yeah.
Yeah, we've got two. We've got Scout Tracker 2 coming up in October here in Kentucky. And then I'm doing another 2-day. I just left Indiana. I taught a 2-day up there this past weekend, right. Doing a 2-day up there. I think that's in October as well. It's similar to what you were describing. I've been teaching tracking for quite a while. And it's people are starting to, I guess, recognize that we have some skill that we can share. So we've just not really had the numbers to do advanced coursework. Mm-hmm. I've always done a fair amount of personal one-on-one training with people that are interested in the subject, but we've been teaching so much tracking as of late. Like the last 3 weekends, I've taught a tracking class somewhere, 3 different states.
I've been following you.
So it's one of those things where we've got the people that have interest in the subject that want some more advanced training. So it's starting to show up on our calendar now. Obviously you're an outdoorsman, so you understand the value of tracking. It's similar to what you were saying earlier, man, is it takes a while to figure out what I call learning how to teach strangers. I knew how I'd teach my kids. I knew how I would teach the people that are close to me. I spent a lot of time with, but people that are strangers to me, I want to give them incredible value if they come to me. So how to do that has been, you know, struggle, learning how to teach strangers. And I think we've got that figured out. And, you know, we've been doing this teaching stuff since 2006. So we're happy. Thank you for asking though. I really appreciate
that. No problem. Dude, you'll find about me is, I like it when other people succeed.
I'm the same way, man.
It's like, no, I want you to succeed because then I can say, hey, you know what? I know him.
Right. That's kind of what the podcast, we've struggled with the podcast, to be frank with you. And we've just trying to find our way so that we're throwing out value to people. And it hit us just about a month ago. Why don't we just start interviewing more people? Because that gives another platform. Let's say, for example, to you, there's going to be people here, you that have never heard of you. And I like that. I want you to be successful. Right. And so that gives a platform to you. Plus the people that are following us on the podcast, they get to hear different viewpoints. And another thing, I was talking to Kevin Estella about this with Fieldcraft Survival. They also hear the things we're similar on.
Yep.
And there's certain themes that keep coming up, no matter who I talk to, that I think somebody needs to write a daggone book on. I'm serious, man. I'm to the point, I think there's a common thread among what I like to call proper woodsmen. And there's probably a lot to that. Maybe that's too much, but meaning people that do things the right way, there's just common threads among us all. And I like that. And one of them is that we like to see other people like us being successful. Really?
Well, I look at it this way, Craig, is you're the author, buddy. Let me know how I can help.
Right. Yeah. Well, thanks, man. I really appreciate that. I am writing my first tracking book right now, man.
Believe it or not. Awesome.
Yeah.
Let me know as soon as it's ready. And I'm saying it on the podcast. I'll be one of the first people to buy that.
All right. Thanks, man. I think you got it. I think you got that part shut down pretty good, but I'll send you one. That's for sure. What else, man? I want to get back to you. I don't like talking about me on these things. tell me anything else coming up or you want to share? I think you've already shared. You've got Instagram, Facebook, YouTube. You got a website, instinctsurvivalist.com. I'm looking at it right now. Looks like a great website. Looks like you got sponsors and everything too. That's cool.
Yep.
Over here on the right. That's good. That's
yeah.
Good.
There's sponsors there and not a lot of them, which is fine. I actually shut down a bunch of sponsorships because it started getting a little crazy, yeah. But I will say this about the site. It is HTTP period. It is going to tell you, depending on what browser you're in, it's going to say, this is not secure. I'm not selling anything. It's just information. So you're not having to worry about secure data or anything of that nature. I'm not stealing anything. That's why I haven't put in the S because I quit selling stuff on the site. So
gotcha.
Just as a by the way, but yeah, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, website. I'm on Pinterest. I'm on
Patreon. What do you do on Pinterest? I've got a Pinterest and I never do anything with it. What do you do with it?
Yeah. So a lot of it is when I'm looking for something to research or looking for information to maybe share with everybody, I'll go and start researching. Well, in that I've actually got several, and I don't remember what they're called, whether it's a book or whether it's it's a board on the board where it's like, here's all the shelters, here's all the fire, here's all the, you know, the different basics of survival. And for me, I use them. Number one is just picture ideas and some as true. Hey, wait a minute. Let me see if this is, you know, if this is of interest to my readers, listeners, or whatever. I put in a Dakota hole. I posted a Dakota hole on the Facebook page today. And I've already had folks jumping all over it like, hey, wait a minute. What is that? So they hadn't even, they had never seen it. So that's been interesting.
Cool.
So sounds like a Dakota hole maybe in the future.
Gotcha. Hey, I'd like to make a plug for all of our listeners to jump on the Facebook group. Tell us the name of the group. It's Rocky Mountain something, isn't it?
It's Rocky Mountain Bushcraft.
Yeah, check that out, you all. That's one of my most favorite groups. Again, I don't participate a lot anymore, but man, that's just humble people trying to help each other. I love that group.
Yeah. And you can get to it through the Instinct Survivalist Facebook page as well. I am going to put another disclaimer out there. This Facebook group is not associated with Greg Ovens. For those of you that watched the show alone, Greg Ovens was one of the contestants. He goes by Rocky Mountain Bushcraft now. So just know that it's not the same. Right. And it is what it is. I've tried to get him in. Tried to get him into the group. And there's another guy, Jason Schwartz, who was Rocky Mountain Bushcraft, but he has fallen off the face of the earth. So there's that as well. I don't want to, I'm not knocking either one of them. I know Greg's a great guy. I've interfaced with him a couple of times virtually, but just letting you know so that people don't join up, which they have several times. Hey, Greg, I love your stuff.
Oh, wow. Greg.
Yeah. So there's that.
Okay. Well, thanks for throwing that in, but I'm still saying everybody needs to jump on there.
Yeah. Well, no, the more the merrier. Just know that if you're going to go in, you're going to have to answer two questions to get on board. Right. Because we've had some folks just jump in and start trying to fail stuff. That's probably the best way to put it.
I understand. We haven't had those required questions on our group, and we're going to change that in the next week or so, just because it's, we haven't had people coming on just trying to sell stuff, but we just had people that are just buttholes.
Come that's on. A good way. That's a good word.
Buttholes, that's a good man. Word. Yeah. I don't know what else to say.
I had one that he would post, he would make a sandwich, and then he would post the picture of the, or a video, sorry, a video of the sandwich, and he would just do a close-up of the sandwich and then back out, and that's it. That's the post. And I'm like, dude, that has no role. And it's not outdoors. It's not like he was making it outside. This was on his kitchen table. And I'm like, so I sent him a warning.
People are crazy, man. People are crazy.
I said, hey, you know, that's not bushcraft related, so I'm going to remove it.
Right.
Feel free to post again, but, you know, don't post your sandwich. Sure enough, a week and a half later, posted another sandwich. So I gave him one more warning, and I've now taken it down to two, and that's all you get. You're going on the second one. But I gave him one more warning, and then he posted a third time. I was like, dude, you got to go. That's all there is to it.
Yeah, I'm sure people don't like me saying this, and quite frankly, I don't care. I don't, if you're posting stuff in the group, in my group, and I don't like, I just ban you. I don't care. I ain't got time for that, man. There's too many positive people in the world for me to deal with anybody that's negative. I just don't have time for it. I love 99% of the people in our group, and I know it's the same way with your group,
yeah.
are just great people, and they deserve to not have to deal with idiots.
Well, and the good news about our group is that I actually put five people in charge.
Yeah, I did the same thing, man.
I said, hey, you can kick them. You can approve entry. You can delete the comment or post. Either way you want to do, but you have full permission to do whatever, and I back your play. And we've had a couple that's come to me and gone, hey, they removed it. I'm like, yeah, because you posted this, you idiot.
Right.
You know, anyway, that's kind of the way that goes.
Man, this has been good. Thank you for your time. I really appreciate it.
I really appreciate it, Craig. It was a pleasure to finally get some time talking to you, not just messaging back and forth. I love what you're doing. I continually watch. I mean, everything you do, I sit there and I watch, whether it's a video, whether it's a picture, everything in your group, I sit there and look at that as well. So thank you for all you do as well.
Yeah, man. Hey, you're one of the few people I pay attention to, just so you know.
I won't tell anybody.
Seriously, man. I like good hearted people, and I can tell you're doing things right. Well, thanks, Mel. It's been good, brother. I appreciate you so much.
Hey, I appreciate it, Craig.
All right. I'm going to shut us off here. Everybody, come on, join in. Let's learn together. And that wraps up another fantastic episode of the Nature Blinds podcast. I hope today's journey has inspired you to explore and connect with the natural world in new and exciting ways. Before I say goodbye, remember to check out the Nature Blinds School online membership. If today's episode sparked your interest in wilderness skills and outdoor adventures, this online community is the perfect place for you to start or continue your journey. You can currently sign up for a year for only $99 and get 2 months for free. Click the link below to discover a world of expert-led courses, engaging content, and a vibrant community eager to share their knowledge and experiences. Whether you're starting your outdoor journey or looking to deepen your existing skills, the Nature Reliant School online membership is here to guide you. Thank you for joining us today. Don't forget to subscribe for more adventures and share this podcast with your fellow nature enthusiasts. Until next time, come on, join in. Let's learn together.